I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the line with NFL reporter Judy Batista of NFL.com. Judy, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
You were in Baltimore on Sunday, and that's why what we want to start with you. You saw the Baltimore Ravens, who present a pretty big challenge to this Buffalo Bills, especially defensively, don't they?
Yeah, you know, what I was impressed by the Ravens on Sunday was they did not play their best game offensively. Lamar Jackson was not at his best. He was pretty candid about it. The conditions there were not great. It was very wet. He had trouble throwing the ball. They had almost no deep passing game. So we didn't see those kind of big chunk plays that we've seen from them in the offense. And they still won. It was a slugfest. They had to sort of grind it out. They held the Niners at bay, and then, you know, it came down to that final drive where they just had to play very carefully, no turnovers, no negative plays, just sort of march down the field and get in field goal position. And I thought that was the most impressive thing about it. They had shredded, quite a few of their opponents in the last few weeks. It was not that kind of game, and they still came out ahead of the team that may still be the best team in the NFC. They're not the number one seed anymore after yesterday, but that was a pretty impressive win.
Yeah, and it was a highly anticipated game. You thought the 49ers might give them a really good shot of hitting them on them. Both teams really played their best. Did the game live up to it? I mean, both these teams are at the top of their conferences, and now the Ravens are at the very top of the conference and the top of the league with their win percentage.
Yeah, you know, I was looking forward to covering that game for weeks. As soon as it became clear that these were going to be two of the top teams in the league, I couldn't wait to cover it. It did live up to my expectations, at least. If you were looking for a high-scoring game, no, right? It was sort of like the Super Bowl last year where everybody was looking forward to fireworks and you didn't get that. But this was sort of an old-school battle, right? The conditions were not good. The defenses were good. The offenses had to fight for everything they had. It was tremendous. Again, if you tuned in wanting to see Lamar Jackson go off, you didn't see that. The conditions prevented that, and certainly the Niners' defense, arguably the best defense in the league, prevented it. But it was, I thought it was a great game, really tightly contested, and certainly, if we get that rematch again in February, I don't think a whole lot of people outside of other fan bases would be disappointed.
Well, it comes up that Baltimore is coming to Buffalo this week to play the Buffalo Bills. And the 49ers are a unique team. They're highly talented up front defensively. What kind of blueprint can people take away from this game for either team about getting an edge on what to do to derail them?
Well, the Niners did a really good job of stopping the Ravens' running game outside of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson still had 100 yards, his fourth 100-yard game of the season. But they did a good job of holding off the running backs. So at least you're cutting off that part of their game. Again, I think it's going to depend on the conditions because Lamar Jackson doesn't want to run. He'll tell you that. He wants to be a quarterback who throws the ball, and they can do that, and they've been able to do that. So I think conditions in Buffalo will dictate a little bit of what they're able to do, but I think if there's any blueprint, it's that you can take from the Niners, and again, they have a very talented defense, but take away parts of their running game, put it all on Lamar Jackson, and see what you get out of there.
He doesn't want to run. He's run for almost 1,000 yards. He's doing pretty well for a guy who doesn't want to run.
He's probably going to break Michael Vick's single-season rushing record for a quarterback. He's only, I think it's 23 yards away from 1,000 yards rushing. So, he'll probably get that this weekend. But he will tell you he prefers to throw the ball. He's a quarterback. He does not want to run first. He's obviously tremendously skilled at it. But I think if you can take away at least the running attack from the running backs, at least you put it all on Lamar Jackson.
Judy, I was thinking a lot in the last 24 hours, actually, about Baltimore's offense and the fact that they run it so well, more than 200 yards per game, Lamar with almost 1,000 yards, 5.6 yards per carry. And they've got kind of this new-age quarterback. playing in sort of an old-fashioned traditional offense, you know, multiple tight ends and a power running game. It's kind of fun to watch kind of the melding of those two philosophies, isn't it?
It is. I feel like Lamar Jackson is this season's Patrick Mahomes, right? Like the sort of supernova who arrives on the scene and you can't take your eyes off him. And you're just, everybody wants to watch him play because you want to see what he's going to do next. Again, the previous few weeks against some of the top teams in the league, they were shredding them, right? Running up the score. It was incredible to watch. That's why I thought this was a really important game against the Niners for them, because I think they had to go back and prove you could win a game like this, like a close, tightly contested game where not everything is working perfectly. You're not going up and down the field. Don't forget, they hadn't had to punt. I think it was 21 straight drives that Lamar Jackson was in on. That's incredible. So I think it was important for them to get a game like this where everything was not going right. He did not have his best game. They just had to play a tightly controlled kind of game, not make too many mistakes, and grind it out at the end.
Well, the Ravens come to Buffalo, and you're right, the conditions may be good, may be bad. It's a big kind of roll of the dice at this point. But they're coming in to play the Buffalo Bills, who, I mean, what are your thoughts on this Bills team? Are they one of the more surprising teams as this season takes shape?
They are, and of course, you know, they're under the radar, I think, nationally, maybe until Thanksgiving when everybody in the country is watching football and you know, obviously dismantling Dallas in Dallas on Thanksgiving will get a lot of eyeballs focused on you. Yes, I think they're surprising, maybe if you weren't paying attention to football. I think we knew the defense was going to be good. Certainly Josh Allen is having a very good season, and maybe nationally he is finally getting onto people's radars. But, you know, the fact that they are not just a wild card team, I mean, they're a wild card team. They're one of the top teams in the AFC. Let's face it, if they happened to be in the NFC East instead of the AFC East, they'd be running away with the division. They would be running away with most divisions in football, except, you know, they happen to be in the division with the New England Patriots. I do think they are surprising a lot of people. Again, I think probably after Thanksgiving, they probably shouldn't be surprising people anymore.
You know, we're with Judy Batista, by the way, NFL reporter for NFL.com. This game Sunday here in Buffalo features two of the first round, the five first round quarterbacks from the 2018 draft. Have you given any thought to maybe reordering the order in which they were drafted? I mean, think about it. I don't think the last shall be first here, right? Lamar Jackson would probably be number one now, and maybe yes. Josh Allen would be the second quarterback chosen.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. Obviously, we get a heavy dose of Sam Darnold here in New York, and it's hard to say his season has been so strange with the mononucleosis, new coach. They haven't had many offensive weapons, so it's sort of hard to tell what you're going to get from Sam Darnold. He's been very up and down this year. Baker Mayfield, again, very up and down. You certainly expected much more of that offense than we've gotten this year. You certainly expected much more of that team in general than we've gotten this year. I agree. Obviously, it would be reordered. Lamar Jackson would be the first one now taken in the first round. He would probably be the number one overall pick. And I think you could make a pretty good argument if you were just going by what we've seen so far that Josh would be second. How do you argue with that? They have certainly had much greater team success than Sam Darnold has had, and then Baker has had. So we'll see. Again, it's hard to judge, particularly, I think, Sam Darnold, because the season has been so weird for him. But, I would say certainly Lamar and Josh would be one and two right now if you reordered it.
Yeah, and there's a lot to like about Lamar and Josh. And in particular, yeah. I think the attitude, the kind of approach to the game that both of them have. We know Josh really well here in Buffalo, but I see Lamar Jackson wearing that T-shirt, nobody cares, work harder. I think that guy's, he's got the right attitude, too, about how to approach this thing, right?
There's no question. They have a similar attitude. First of all, they don't talk about individual accomplishments or accolades at all. Like, Lamar Jackson does not want to hear anybody talk about Super Bowl yet. MVP, certainly not. He doesn't want to talk about. They're all about team, and we got to keep going, and we still have games. I mean, you know, it's sort of boring as a reporter. You want somebody to embrace all of the hype. They're not into that at all. They're very even keeled, and look, that's what you want in December and
how
January.
How much of a difference has it made? You look at those five first-round quarterbacks from a year ago. The two guys we're talking about, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, are the only two that have had stability. Josh Rosen, a whole new team. Baker Mayfield, three head coaches. And, of course, Sam Darnold now in his second offense, his second head coach. That's got to be a big factor in the success these young players have had.
There's no question. It's a huge factor, and their teams know that, right? I mean, and everybody on the outside should realize that no matter how gifted a quarterback or any player is, you just can't do it when there's chaos all around you, right? It just doesn't matter if there's coaching upheaval. I mean, Sam Darnold, you know, on his second offense, as you pointed out, I mean, Josh Rosen, his head must spin. He's had so much going on. Baker Mayfield, again, you know, and in so many of these cases, lots of personnel turnover too, not just the coaching staff. It's just a lot. Look at Tom Brady, right, as confident and as stable a situation as you could possibly have with that head coach. Even he is having trouble adjusting to having new weapons, inexperienced weapons around him. He's struggling with it this year. So, you know, after his 20-year career, right, greatest quarterback in history, if he is struggling with it, imagine what it must be like in the heads of these young guys.
Judy, I have one more question for you about the Bills versus the Ravens, and you were there to see the Niners and Ravens last Sunday. Is that the template for – is that what the Buffalo defense should look to do against the Baltimore Ravens? They held them to 20 points.
Yeah. I mean, look, we like to talk about blueprints a lot, but, you know, you got to have the personnel to do it, too. The Niners have a very fast, exceptionally talented defensive front. That certainly helps. You got to have the horses to do it. But certainly I think – The Niners at least gave future opponents of the Ravens stuff to chew on. They at least gave you stuff to look at, which, you know, let's be honest, previous opponents did not do. The LA Rams weren't able to do it. The Patriots weren't able to do it. So at least this is something that coaches can look at and say, all right, what did they do? What can we adopt from this? How can we tailor this to our personnel to slow the Ravens down?
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, too, is on the big picture around the league. You've got a lot of teams, like the Bills, unexpectedly playing up to a 9-3 record. You've got Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, who lost three quarterbacks and has done a wonderful job with Pittsburgh. You look at even John Harbaugh in Baltimore, rebuilding that offense and doing something that's a little bit off the books and really kind of going all in on somebody who is really unproven in Lamar Jackson and getting it done. A lot of Coach of the Year candidates out there, guys who have really done outstanding jobs. And we read this yesterday. We poo-pooed it a little bit that Brian Flores is getting some play because of the job he did now that they've won three games with that roster and Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. But what are your thoughts on, you know, guys like Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, Sean McDermott, Brian Flores?
Yeah, well, look, I actually tweeted yesterday that, you know, they're not going to win Coach of the Year, and they might not even get any votes for Coach of the Year, but I think Tomlin and Flores at least should be talked about because they have operated under extreme personnel duress. I mean, you know, some of it's self-inflicted. Obviously, the Miami Dolphins are following a plan here that has dismantled the roster. The Steelers, of course, are happenstance with all of the injuries, but that they have kept their teams together and that they're figuring out ways to win, that goes to coaching, right? I mean, look at the opposite when you look at, without naming any names, teams that have a whole lot of talent on the roster. It looks like on paper they're going to be a great team, and they're just not getting the results. That's coaching, right? We blame coaching there. The opposite is also true. So, look, again, I don't think Tomlin or Flores is gonna win Coach of the Year. I do think they should be in the conversation. As for the coaches who are really going to be in, let's see how the last month plays out, because we know this is when things get really tight in the NFL. Games get closer. The conditions get worse. Certainly Kyle Shanahan has to be in the conversation. I agree with you. John Harbaugh, I think, has to be considered a leading candidate. They went to this completely unorthodox kind of offense when they made the decision to go all in on Lamar Jackson. You remember in the offseason last year, they were saying, we're gonna show the league this new offense. We're gonna try this new offense. There were a lot of people rolling their eyes like, come on, there's nothing new under the sun here. How's this gonna work? A quarterback can't run as much as Lamar Jackson runs and stay healthy, and it's working. right? They're blowing up their opponents. So I think Harbaugh is a leading candidate. I certainly think Sean McDermott is a leading candidate when you see what they've been able to do. Again, let's see what happens in the last month, because a lot can change here. This is a very big list of Coach of the Year candidates this year.
Talking with Judy Batista, NFL reporter for NFL.com. A couple of minutes left here. Judy, I want to get to the NFL all-time team, the NFL 100 team. You are on the Blue Ribbon panel that selects that team. Is your voting complete? Give us an idea about the process. Have you already voted for all those positions?
We voted more than a year ago. We voted in the off season prior to the 2018 season.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, the 2018 season and the 2019 season were not even part of the consideration. Yes, it was hard. It was an honor, obviously, to be on that panel with a lot of great football people. But it was hard. It's hard to make the cut when you're only looking at great players, influential players. To me, the toughest part of it was comparing players across generations of the NFL. The rules have changed. The styles of play have changed. You know, we have longer seasons. Players have longer careers. It's very difficult to compare players who played in the 1920s and 30s to players who are playing right now.
How did you guys handle those 20s and 30s players? No one's seen them play, right?
Right. Well, we had a subcommittee, which was John Madden, Bill Belichick, and a few others, who really did deep dives on what were called the golden era players. Those are the guys who played both ways, offense and defense. And they did deep dives on research. They got what little film there was and looked at it. And they sort of reported back to the rest of the panel and said, you know, this is what we found. These guys were this. These guys were that. And that really helped help the rest of us, because you're right. Obviously, none of us saw these guys play live. There's very little film of them to see. And they spent a lot of time to produce a report that really helped the rest of us.
Yeah, and when the list comes out, I mean, obviously, it's comprehensive and it's wide-ranging. How much contention was there within? Was it just a blind vote? Did you just discuss it? I mean, there must have been some guys with some pretty passionate opinions.
Yeah, we had two rather lengthy conference calls, and then we had an in-person meeting in New York. Again, this is the off-season prior to the 2018 season. The in-person meeting lasted hours and hours, where you just poured over these guys. I wouldn't say it was contentious. There wasn't yelling, but yeah, there were a lot of strongly held feelings. You know, there were people there who had played with some of these players, certainly who had been personnel executives with some of these players. And obviously there were some media members, you know, we've covered some of these players. It was not contentious, but it was really, I was impressed by how much thought and care went into it. People spent a lot of time. I'll just give you an example of me. You know, it's divided by categories. You weren't ranking them, you know, 1 through 10 or anything. But for instance, punters, you only got 2 punters. Well, I spent one Saturday like going down the rabbit hole on punter statistics and punter tape.
Good luck with that. You know.
So that was just punters. Imagine what we did on quarterbacks and running backs and all of the rest. It was there was a lot of effort put into this. And it was very difficult.
Well, I'll tell you what, we all appreciate the effort you put in on it. All of us who follow the league didn't want to do all of that.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you putting the effort in. That's awesome to hear. And I know this too, and all the stuff that goes on that's a big list like this, the people they choose to do it do sacrifice a lot of their time and put a lot of effort in. So I appreciate you doing that. And I know on behalf of a lot of fans, we can't wait to see the entire comprehensive list.
It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to the 125-year list, too. Interesting.
That'll be good. Judy, thanks for this. Thanks for being with us here today. We appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, guys. Good to see you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.